this event is what I'll be with the shortwave and scanner listeners at. I'm going to stand by for an emergency or priority traffic before we begin the next statement. Okay, now we heard. Good evening, everyone. This is event 210B. The name is Charles. It's Staten Island, New York City. I'd like to welcome you to the weekly shortwave and scanner listeners net. As heard on the N2ROW computer system every Wednesday evening at 9 p.m. local time. The purpose of this net is to provide a general discussion forum for those who are interested in the different aspects of the radio monitoring hobby that covers all the frequencies from DC all the way up to light and everything else in between except for amateur radio. And the reason is that we can talk about amateur radio at other times during the week. So we're going to talk about who's on these different frequencies outside of the amateur radio band, what equipment you would use to tune them in, and where you can find more information. Here's basic information about this net and the repeater system that we're on. The N2ROW Link repeater system has a website at www.n2row.net, and there you will see a list of repeater frequencies scattered throughout the tri-state area. Please pick the repeater that's closest to where you are and use the least amount of power necessary to make sure that you have a clean signal in the system. Two of the frequencies on this system have remote receivers scattered throughout the region. They are 145.230 and 441.100. If you're using too much power on either of these two frequencies, you will trip another receiver site and cause more noise than you think you are. So it's best to leave these two frequencies for those who are using HT. If you're using the base station, please use any of the other frequencies on the system, as long as you can reliably get into them. Also, because it is a link repeater system, when you key up, please pause for a second before you begin to speak. This way, the beginning part of the transmission won't be cut off. It's just inherent nature of the repeater system. When you're checking in on the air, please give your call sign, name, and location, and also please indicate if you have any traffic for the net. And by traffic, we're talking about any comments or questions that you would like to share with everyone else. If you don't have any traffic, you'll say the word no traffic when you check in. This way we know to move on to the next person. However, if everybody says no traffic, there's not much to talk about. This net is always been a reflection of the traffic that's been brought to the net. If you're not able to get into the repeaters for whatever reason, technical difficulties, too far away, or you're not licensed yet, ycxa@yahoo.com. So just want to stand by to check it. Please space it out. This way everybody has a chance to check in. This is X1LB.
K2GLW, Gordon in Manhattan, no traffic, and I will be out with the dog monitoring by HT in just a couple minutes.
Okay, anybody else?
K
KB3 BWF parked in St. George, Staten Island. No traffic.
And our neighbor just to the east by 2 miles. KB3 BWF. Good evening. Anybody else? Model. 996X8 went to that page. And that's where I saw all the differences. The differences are highlighted. So I don't know how that's going to come out for you. But all the new stuff is in bold.
Okay, great. Good, thank you. That's good to know. Yeah, we can fight with the screen readers and tell them to read bolded text or whatever. So, thank you very much, Charlie. I appreciate that. I think that's all the traffic I have for now. Back to Matt. Thank you.
Also, Don, I hope your software can differentiate between bolded and which words are actually a hyperlink. Because when I see it, I see regular weighting of, let's say, a sentence, saying, let's say, rebanding supported, question mark. The word rebanding is still normal weight in blue. That means it's a hyperlink. And then after the question mark, the word yes, the capital letters printed in green. Yet if you go like three lines down, the entire entry is bolded where it says support P25 conventional channels that include NAC and TGIP use differentiation. So I don't know how your software will work with that.
Well, it'll probably be a little bit of a pain in the neck, to say the least, but fight with it and get the job done eventually.
D1THM, Fairfield, Connecticut.
Okay, Doc. Just figured I'd give you a heads up just in case. Was somebody else checking in? This is N108.
This is Kilo Bravo 1, Tango Hotel Mike. My name is Brandon. I'm located in Easton, Connecticut, right next to Fairfield. And I'm doing 50 watts.
Okay, you're right in Bob's backyard over there, N1 MLZ. Welcome to that. We got you checked in. Do you have any traffic, or are you just listening in?
No traffic. Just checking in.
Okay, well, welcome to that. We're on the air every Wednesday evening at 9 o'clock with the Showwave and Scanner Net. So you're welcome to tag along. Next one up on the net, we'll pass it over to your neighbor, N1MLZ. Good, Bob.
Good evening, Charlie. Everybody up on the net? Good evening, neighbor. And Easton. A couple of things here, Charlie. Number one, couldn't believe what I was hearing on SOD the other day. I think it was Friday. On 470-8375, of course, New York City SOD. East Islip Fire Department uses that frequency also. They're pretty far out here in Long Island, you know, across the pond here, pretty far east of New York City. But, of course, the PLs, normally you wouldn't interfere any stuff, but for some reason, they were coming through SOD loud and clear. They heard the tones, toning out a call, and I had to look twice at the scanner to make sure that's what I was listening to, SOD, but the whole thing came over, complete the tone, the location, the fire, and, you know, the box alarm, whatever it was, and I two or three times during the day, it wasn't just once. So apparently SOD doesn't have their PO on or something, because they use a DPL of 466 out there in East Islip, obviously with the input PL. But kind of interesting there, Charlie. I was surprised to, SOD traffic here, we just sit there and wait for it to finish, and then they continue on. But surprised. Hopefully they have it fixed.
Yeah, that is very strange, and strange that you may think. But, yeah, hopefully that whoever the radio tech was that accidentally didn't make sure that something was working properly actually went back and fixed it. is that's not something you want to have going on the constant basis.
Well, thankfully that department doesn't, you know, have too much traffic, so it wasn't too bad. But yeah, I know what you mean about more than I could believe that that would happen, but understand that. Strange, but all right, very good. I'm not. Second thing, I've been messing around with this program. I'm sure you're familiar with the scanner recorder, but the gentleman also has a pro version, and you know, it's a slight small contribution. I think it's $10 or something. You can give more if you want, but and it's a very good program. I'm enjoying it here. It'll record just like scanner recorder does. But also, you use the data output of the scanner, the BCD396 XT I'm using, and it recognizes that radio in all the data stream, and it'll tag your audio clip that you're recording with what it is, frequency, whatever you want, the signal strength, you know, the NAC or the TP, PL or whatever, the whole works. You can just you can put what you wanted to record. A log, and I guess the software also comes with a player, and it'll play the audio and on the screen. It'll show you know it takes the log file and it incorporates that in as it's playing it, and it shows exactly who you're hearing, etc. So it's a real good program for $10.
That's an even an excellent program for double or triple that. That's pretty good, Bob. I vaguely remember reading somewhere that either it was done on purpose or it's an unintended consequence that using that jack, you effectively had yourself like a baseband output. Is that correct?
Yeah, you mean the audio? I think I know what you're talking about. The problem with the audio?
W2.
Yeah, it becomes the baseband output, so that if you were to tune it to something else, let's say the FM radio band, which we don't have in case you're doing this, but there are certain sub-carriers that can be pulled out of the stream.
Oh, okay, that's completely different to what I was thinking that you meant. No, I didn't know about that, Charlie. I have to read into that. Where is that radio reference?
I'm trying to remember where I saw this, and it was, it's either something that it can do, or something somebody wishes it to do. I've got to find the message that I saw. You wouldn't believe how many different mailing lists and articles that I get on a weekly basis.
I know, you get mixed up after a while, which, where it came from, but, that would be interesting to see what's going on there. If you come across that, obviously send it over. So good stuff. Yeah, that's a good program. You can obviously unattended recording, and you'll know who you're listening to on the recording. Even if you're just searching for unknown frequencies, like the NAC, I do the NAC search on VHF usually. Just search the VHF band, and when it pops up with the NAC, you can get who it is, and it'll log it, and you can listen to it at the same time. Before I was just logging just frequencies and NACs, and not able to listen at the same time. So it makes it a little better. You can actually hear who you're recording there.
Bob, does it put any metadata in the MP3 file, or does it do MP3 at all?
Well, it stores as a WAV file, and of course you can use any program to convert it over. There's hundreds of them out there free to convert to MP3, but no, it doesn't store the data on the MP3. It doesn't do that. It makes a separate log file. And as long as the log file is in the same folder, I guess the program finds it. It names it the same name, and the program finds it, and it uses the log file, at the same time, and it creates the data that way.
it's almost like time stamping it. Okay, lapse time, time stamp. So if you're listening to the audio, it says, okay, we've got 20 seconds into the transmission. What's the tag at 20 seconds? And it just plays that.
Yeah, that's cool. It sounds like an excellent program. Thanks, W8-2-LBC.
However, Bob, the way it's getting its data is that there has to be a sub-audible data stream being put out with the audio. Otherwise, it would have no way of knowing which channel has alpha tag that it's looking for, correct?
Charlie, I guess I wasn't clear with that. You also have to hook up the data output port, you know, the place where you normally program the radio. You can hook up the serial port to that at the same time, and that's where it gets the data.
Okay, just not. let's see. I know Bob, you've been a little active on the boards as far as the Civil Air Patrol is concerned. There's a wiki page on regionalreference.com where they've been accumulating the data that's been reported around the country. And it looks like in Connecticut, 148.125 is an active Civil Air Patrol frequency using two different PL phones, which equates to two different channels programmed in their radio. So each combination of a frequency PL phone will equate itself to a particular channel number. So we have reported so far in Connecticut using PL phones 143.0 and 156.7. on that frequency of 148.165. I don't see anything for New York, but in New Jersey, 148.150 is showing Lakehurst, New Jersey, on a PL phone of 77.0. So if you hear anything on these two frequencies that don't match up to these two PL phones, you may have discovered a new Civil Air Patrol repeater. Please feel if there's any bit of information that we can share with each other, it's good information. Okay, before we continue, we'll stand by for any additional check-ins before we move along with KUIJ. So any other check-ins, let's stand by for additional check-ins. This is N2NLB.
W2CMA, repeat, PL, 1148.
Okay, and before I pass it over to him, in case some of you didn't know, WA2SQ2 last week had a bit of a weather emergency. The high winds that came through the area decided to snap his tower in half. And the antennas that came down just barely nicked his car, so in the process of putting his station and towers back together again. Alright, KQUIJ, let's pass it over to you. That's what it'll be.
Charlie, Annabelle, and Annette. I just wanted to just give a quick review. I bought an antenna for the AM radio. It was a Grundig, which is the model number. AM200, indoor loop antenna. It's not amplified, it's just with the capacitor, with the tuning in there. And it really works really well. I've been using it on my portable shortwave receiver, which is the only one I have. It's an ATS-909 by Sangian, and it really makes a big difference. I was able to know a lot of stations like ABC and 710 and 1010 Winds, and really for the first time hear stations to the sides of those channels. 77 is pretty bad, at least for me. I'm in Lodi, so is the tower. From my front window, it's probably less than 3/4 mile away. But it really works good. It does bring in stations. It will make them louder and stronger. And it works a lot better than the 50-foot piece of wire I have outside on the AM band, at least. So it's highly recommendable. I mean, I got it at Radio Shack. They're selling it for, I think, $39. You could probably get them a little cheaper on the internet. I only went there because I had a gift certificate for Christmas. I finally used it. And it really works well. It's really brought a lot more stations in. And I guess with the loop, I can null out some other stations and actually hear two stations on one frequency. So it's definitely a winner, and it definitely makes a big difference. Back to you, Charlie.
Knowing where you are, I was going to ask you about WAPC. Two things. And one at a time. How do you use this loop with the radio? And I have a DX198, which is Radio Shack's version of the 909. There are two methods. One is direct connection, and one is inductive coupling. Which one does this use?
I use the inductance coupling, but it does have an output jack where you can, I guess, put a 1/8 plug from the loop antenna into your radio. The provided wire that comes with the antenna is a 1/8 male to two bare wires come out the other end. I guess it's for screw terminals on the radio. I tried directly coupling it right into the radio, and I just got bad results. It was definitely much better by putting the loop. Actually, I put the radio right in the center of the loop antenna and just used the tuning method to do it. You could do both, but your mileage may vary with your receiver, but it did not work for me, at least, on the 909 when I directly attached it to the antenna jack on the radio.
Yeah, one of the tricky things about doing it that way, plugging it into an antenna jack, is that you're never sure if the internal ferrite bar is disconnected. Otherwise, you're just fighting between the two.
Yeah, could be. Well, I'm not down that. I think what I'd eventually get is a little turntable for it, so I could turn the radio, you know, inside the loop around on the table, and I listen to it to try different positions. But yeah, you're right. I guess I didn't take that into account. So, like I said, it may depend on the radio. Some radios may have the separate antenna jack where you can direct couple it. But it works really good, and I mean, it does make a big difference in the S meter. But sound wise, it sounds a lot better. And a lot of the stations, like let's see, who am I listening to? 1170 in Wheeling, West Virginia. I'm getting them like with the loop antenna, with the RF gain turned all the way down, like at the minimum. They're still coming in half scale, where I wasn't even getting that with the gain up all the way with the outside antenna. So it really, man, and like 900 from Canada, that comes in pretty easy. But you can peak it, you can hear the volume come up, and you can actually see the signal strength come up.
To go to the graveyard channel, all the little 5 kilowatt stations up in the 12 and 13 and 1400 area.
I tried a couple of them. I got home a little early from work today, so I was home in daylight, and I was picking up stations in Connecticut, which isn't that far away, not from here, but I will try that probably tonight. I only got it tonight on the way home from work, and yes, I know you're talking about the low-powered, higher frequencies at the end of the band, and the beginning of the band.
Yeah, most roughly at the top, above 1200. At night time, you can frustrate yourself totally by having headphones on, everything quiet in the room, and you're hearing three signals, very weak, overlapping each other, taking turns popping up above the dim, and hoping that you time it right, that you can identify one of them by an advertisement saying what town they're in.
Yeah, I find what's a good tip is if you're listening to something that's far away, you know, on one of the AM frequencies, and you're a commercial for something, if they give the area code, I mean, it's not foolproof because, you know, obviously stuff could be near the border of a different state, but I've been writing the area codes down on some of the advertisements, and then just using a Google search to find out what area is covered by that area code. It's not 100%, but at least it'll zone in, you know, where it's coming from, kind of.
Yeah, especially when you hear commercials like used car dealers say, come on down to Joe's used cars on road outside of, you know, put up film. You know, they got a clue, sort of. But yeah, it goes a good way, too. But you got to watch out. Some states, like Utah, have 801 for the entire state.
Yeah, I didn't take that into account. Well, what I try to do is go on one of the websites and just find out if you can hear callers. That's great. That solves the problem. But if I'm, like, just like, listening to, like, 660 or 1110, I'll do a Google search and see what comes up on that frequency, and then sometimes the radio station will have a website that's simulcasting, and if I can compare what I'm hearing over the radio from their website to what I'm hearing on the radio, you can kind of narrow it in.
Well, to fine-tune it a little bit more for you, do either the search on the FCC database for NASA, or if you have the SWLog program, download the FCC database. They get updated every night. So download, let's say, once a month. It's a pretty big file. At least I have it right there on your computer.
Hey, will do. That's good. That's a good tip.
Yeah, Bob turned me on to the program a few years ago. It's like you can get free downloads of different databases for AM, FM, non-directional beacons, shortwave broadcasting, all around the world, and have it sitting on your computer. When you hear something, it's put to the frequency and gives you a list of all the possible, so that you can narrow it down from there.
Yeah, I'm going to download that. I'm going to wait till, you know, the weather gets a little nicer in the spring and towards the early summer. My dad lives down in Tom's River, so what I may do one night, walk on the boardwalk and maybe sit on the bench with the wife and with her headphones, bring that, because the loop is very tiny. I mean, it's probably like less than a foot tall and probably weighs less than a pound or a pound. Bring it on the boardwalk, and at nighttime, do a little tuning around down there. That should be interesting, pretty close to the ocean. Then I may get some stuff from the other countries, maybe.
Well, if you run into Bob, ask about when those of us of the older crowd would go down to the Jersey Shore in the wintertime, run a wire into the beach, nail it into the sand, and pick up AM and long wave from Europe and Africa.
That's pretty interesting. I mean, you can really stretch out the antenna down there, and in the wintertime, nobody would bother you. So that must be, you know, how long of an antenna did you run, or something like that, on the beach?
PTL-1-14-8.
Well, you're right, in wintertime, there's nobody walking the beach at night. Propagation is good. You have longer night times. And the length of the wire, well, as long as necessary to you. You know, sit somewhere where it's relatively warm and out of the weather. Some people have houses near the beach. You know, you run a 100-foot wire. Sometimes it's a car in a parking lot. It's set up.
Okay, that's interesting. I'll have to work on getting a spool of wire to do that next time I'm down there.
Yeah, just make sure the wire to the antenna is sloping and pointing towards where you want to pick up the signal. And don't forget about the great circle path. If you think when you're pointing due east, you're going to get Europe. You're not. You're actually going to get Africa.
Saw that.
Yeah, we have to think of this as a three-dimensional world.
Okay, good.
Keep us surprised at how you do with that loop. For $30, excellent deal. Okay, anybody else before we wrap it up tonight? This is Ed Swinnelby with the shortwave that the scanner listeners have.
This is KC2QKO, checking in.
QKO, we got you checked in. Bye, stop it for that.
KC2QKO, just picking up the last bit of your story about running the wire on the beach.
Gone by. I'll do it again someday. Alright, anybody else?
C2NGU.
Okay, can you figure out any traffic, or are you just checking in?
Checking in, and I have a question regarding like a regular TV scanning in theory.
Yep, go ahead, Ralph. Just with TV being digital now, you want your scanning from the digital converter box.
No, I'm no. First thing is, the cable company in Brooklyn, New York, in Cornell in particular, they still have analog channels, but they come in really, really in the noise. Like channel 12 is news 12. On the regular TV, you connect the cable line directly to the TV, and they still have analog signals in there. And plus, I did a regular, 2 days ago at night, I did a regular off-air TV scan. Channel 60 was home shopping network. It wasn't coming in as well. I found channel 6, and I think I just found channel 42, and like a few other channels. So there's like, I think it's like more and more low-power TV stations are going on the air. Maybe, what do you think? Because, is it normal, or it could it be like, pirate stations or test stations? Because I'm just wondering about that. Because I did a scan, and I picked up a lot of stuff, like at least six channels. Technically, I feel that it's a lot, like...
Now, totally legit, the FCC has exempted the low-power TV station. They can still do analog. As far as the cable is concerned, cable TV can do whatever they want on their own system. So some of the channels are still analog, feeding into the box. So that's the way they have it set up.
Yeah, copy. Is somebody originally allowed to point their directional antenna, or their directional TV antenna with an amplifier? Is it legal to point it at the cable leak, or will they get up to you once they can find out?
Alright, let me get this straight. You have a TV receive antenna. You want to point it at a cable. Okay? Theoretically, there should be nothing leaking at the cable. If you pick up something, well, that means potentially they're also leaking onto the aircraft band and the public service band as well, which they should not be doing.
Okay, what I mean is, how do I put it? I read on the internet a few years ago regarding cable TV leakage. You could get free cable if you have your directional antenna, your TV antenna pointed at the leak. Particularly, like, one of my neighbor's houses, they have an amplifier right up on the pole. And they have a lot of cables hanging down because people just cut them and let them go like that. And I'm wondering if, next time I'm by there, if I make a directional Yagi antenna with a cheap $10 eBay amplifier by GE, it's an inline amplifier with a voltage block at the antenna with the amplifier, and it shares the voltage going through the coax and your power inserters in the house. If I do that, I wonder if, can I get anywhere with that? No, it still works like.
All I can say, Ralph, is that you can experiment to your heart's desire. You'll probably get what you pay for, and that if there's any signal leaking out of the system, which they should not be leaking out. And it's their responsibility to make sure nothing does leak out because of the effect that it has on other public safety situations. Whatever you get, you get. It might be analog, it might be digital, it might be scrambled. I don't know. Experiment.
Okay, no problem. Because I don't know how, but I made a dipole. Basically, I think I used 6 feet on each side. I just stretched that outside the QTH and I ran RG6 to the TV. The dipole was maybe 4 or 5 feet off the ground, no more than 8 feet off the ground. And I actually got wavy signals on channel 3 and, like, I think either 3 or 10, one of those. Channel 10 set up 55, and I think channel 10 and 55 emerged together because I was getting some kind of channel 10. This wasn't really near the amplifier. It was definitely under the cable line. So it's probably they have an amplifier feeding that particular set of cables, or it could be other people having old cable in their house. They're using cheap coax to make splices and everything.
I have no idea. Anything is possible.
Another question. On eBay, I saw this cable box combiner kit. It just had low, high-pass filter and two splitters. What in theory is that really for, technically, when you want to modulate two signals into an unused channel pair on the TV?
I would have no idea unless I saw what it was. If you can, send me the link, and I'll look at it and see if it matches up anything I've used before.
It's actually called a cable TV combiner kit. It comes with a filter 5KHP 120. And I did research on this particular filter online. It blocks frequencies 0 to like 150. And it lets the other ones through, and then it blocks 900 to or something else.
Not at all. Send me the link to it, Ralph. I'll take a look at it and send you the email back.
Okay, KC2NG. It's your call sign, a double up. It's very easy.
Yeah, Ralph, my email address is at the top of my website.
Your what? Call sign at the website?
Go to n21lb.net. My email is at the top of the page.
Okay, I almost forgot about that. KC2NG, thank you.
Okay, is there somebody else? Okay, hearing up with the 7-3, we'll catch everybody next week. I don't know if we can find out in North Hudson County over here, but if you live in that area, you can bring on the battery. Please watch the video. And those in the office area, you can get your water back as well. So